Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and it begins in verse 14 and goes through 22. And David says, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to make this freewill offering? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are aliens and transients before you. As were all our ancestors, our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you search the heart and take pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our ancestors, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts towards you. Grant to my son Solomon that with single mind he may keep your commandments, your decrees, and your statutes, performing all of them, and that he may build the temple for which I have made provision." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Bless the Lord your God," and all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. And on the next day they offered sacrifices and burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs. With their libations and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, they ate and drank before the Lord, and on that day with great joy. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
So come on, let me dream for you. I am strong when you're weak and I carry you. So let go of your plan, be caught by my hand. I'll show you what I can do. So come on, let me dream for you. I am strong.
I've been talking with several parents lately of kind of middle schoolers and high schoolers, and we've been talking about just how hard life is for our youth and our kids right now. I mean, it is incredibly tough. And I'll tell you, I will never want to go back to those times. Like, you couldn't pay me enough money to want to go back to middle school and to go back to high school. I mean, I did not have a great time. I think in the moment, I had great moments. But looking back, I am just glad that I got through them. And I mean, middle school and high school and elementary school, I mean, different points. Those are the years that we're kind of hashing ourselves out. We're trying to figure out who we are. We're trying out the crazy haircuts. You know, we're trying to keep up with the greatest fashions, but not very well. You know, it's like we look back and we're like, oh my gosh, I did that. Like, that's what I look like. I mean, it's this crazy thing. And I flipped through, you know, I went to my grandparents' house or to the girls' grandparents' house and we were flipping through photo albums. The girls don't know what photo albums are. Yeah. To actually hold a photo album, that was like a new thing. It did not hold their interest very long. But just like seeing the way that I see my parents when I was that young and realizing that's how they're going to be seeing me. Like, they're going to be like, man, my dad was the biggest dork ever. And just thinking about that time, it's so difficult because you're kind of hashing out all these different things. You're trying to figure out, like, where's your place in the world? Like, what are you good at? Like, how do you stand out? You're trying to figure out how not to stand out, how to kind of blend in. You've got all these different things kind of going on. And I think what's so funny is, like, for us, that time is kind of where we're trying out, like, a bunch of new things. I tried out, like, a bunch of kind of extracurricular activities during that time of my life to try to figure out, like, if there was one that I was going to be, like, incredibly successful with. Like, I just didn't know I was a prodigy yet until I started it, and just hoping that that would carry me through the rest of my life. I didn't find it. Just, I mean, I never did. I played football in middle school, And I was terrible. I didn't start like a single game. I was kind of that, you know, during like the fourth quarter where the coach is like, well, we got to play the rest of them. And he kind of put me in. And I remember this one play kind of stands out in my head. Like I was on defense and I came around and I saw the guy. And I mean, like I just dove for him and I tackled him. And it wasn't even the right kid. So like my one moment of glory just completely just unravels. I ran track in the eighth grade. I ran track in middle school. And I was terrible. I was like the slowest person imaginable. I ran the 200 meters. Does anybody know 200 meters? It's like half of a lap around a track. Like Usain Bolt holds the world record, not Arthur Harrison. I mean, like, I was so slow that like by the time I was like to the halfway point, everybody else was finishing. It was kind of like one of those inspirational clips on YouTube where like there's a runner that's injured and like everybody's like cheering him on, only I was running and everybody was like, at least you finished, you know. The coach kind of came up to me and put his hand on my shoulder and was like, I think your time was better than last time, so that's something. I was like, man, this is not working out well. So I've kind of had to find skills and abilities kind of in other areas other than athletics. That never really was my thing. I was, you know, I'm deceptively athletic because I'm tall. So I get picked pretty early for basketball. And then the captain that picked me, like, regrets it a couple minutes into the game. I was like, oh, man. So because being tall is really all I'm good at. You know, like, I can reach things on shelves. And I can reach behind cabinets. That's my wheelhouse. That's where I really shine. And there's all these other like skills and abilities that like other people have kind of fostered. Like everybody else in my family's got like the weird talent that they can curl their tongue. Can any of y'all curl your tongue? I can't do that. It's like a genetic thing. So it's not like a failure on my part. It just makes me feel like one. I can't do these cool things. Does anybody have like a cool thing that they can do that they found out, like something they're really good at? Like, can anybody juggle, anything like that? What can you do back there? You can do karate? That's awesome, man. I tried to do that and I got beat up a lot. That's good. What else can y'all do well? Do what? You can beatbox? All right. Now's your time to shine, man. Yeah.
You can do it.
Come on. You can do it. Yes. All right. Way to go, man. Way to go. John Mark is leaving, so we got a spot. Yeah. You can pay him afterwards. You can slip him that. Yeah. Yeah. We've all got these incredible gifts and abilities that some of us, like, it's just us that knows about it. You're like, it's so weird, I don't want to tell anybody else. But the fact of the matter is, I think, like, we kind of latch on to these gifts that we have or these talents. We're trying to find something that makes us stand out. Because I think kind of deep down, each of us has this fear. Each of us has this fear that we're going to be the last one picked in a game. We each have this fear that we're not good enough, or we're not going to measure up, or we don't belong, or people are going to figure out that we don't have it all together. And so we measure ourselves by these abilities that we have, these skills, or we look and we just sort of despair because we see everybody else around us does have it figured out, or everybody else can do this, or everybody else looks better, or they've got more money, or they're more successful, or they at least appear that they do have it all figured out. Because deep down, we have this fear of saying, who in the world am I, and why in the world do I matter? And this isn't something that is just unique to us. In our scripture reading this morning, it kind of starts off with that that reading of David, and he's right in the middle of this blessing, and he starts off, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to make this free will offering? So here you have a king, the most powerful king in Israel's history at this time. I mean, he completely blew Saul away. I mean, he kind of set the standard, and I mean, we still talk about him. We don't talk too much about the sons of David a whole lot except Solomon. But David, he's sort of that guy. He's got it all together. I mean, he's powerful. He conquered, I mean, just armies all over the place. He was successful, and he still got this need of measuring himself, and who in the world am I? Because deep down it comes down to, no matter how many armies he bought, no matter how much money that he gave God, he knows that he is just a shepherd boy who is really good at throwing rocks. And that one small ability opened up an opportunity. But the real gift that he had was not to command armies, was not to stand on the throne and to make royal decrees or anything like that, but as God said, was that he would be a man after his own heart, that he would pursue after God like nobody else before him. And that was what made him unique. That's what made him stand out, and that's what gets him to this point that he is right now as king. And so here he is with everything figured out, on top of the world. He's got all the cash in the world, and he says, I'm going to give it up. And he says, I'm going to give it all to the building of God's temple. And I'm not sure if we always realize the amount of humility that comes with that. Because I think if David had an opportunity to rewrite his story, I think David might have written it a little bit differently. David maybe had some other plans that he would have liked to have done as king that he didn't get to do. David had the desire that he wanted to build this temple. The pinnacle of everything he thought he came to was that he could finally, permanently establish the place and the moment where God would permanently dwell with his people. And he could build this structure, this temple, this place, and that would be his shining moment. That would be the pinnacle achievement that he could have. That could be his hang on the hat, his top thing. Check it off, put it on the resume. He's good to go. But God sort of wrote it a little bit different. And his ability wasn't to be the perfect king that they needed or to build the perfect temple that he wanted, but instead, to prepare the hearts and the people and to lead the way out of generosity, of showing that it's not how we want to write our own stories or what sort of skills and abilities and purposes that we want to hang our hats on, but knowing that there is a deeper purpose in each and every one of us that God has for us. And so as David is writing this blessing, as he's saying this blessing to the people, he says something extremely profound. He says, I know, my God, that you search the heart and take pleasure in uprightness. And in the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. The measures that we have with our own lives, we will always come up short because we measure ourselves by the things of this world. Whereas God measures us by looking so much deeper than that. He looks past the cars, he looks past the classes, he looks past the friends, he looks past everything that we have wrapped ourselves around, and he looks into our very hearts and our minds and our spirits and simply asks for us to be willing to be used by him. God didn't need David's money. God doesn't need our money, but he needs us. He needs the things that he's given us because he's given us those things to do something incredible, something that we could never imagine on our own. We get to help build the very kingdom of God. And as big as that legacy is, it's something that we don't ever get to even see the final product until we are in heaven with God. We don't get to see the full value of what we are building. We don't get to see the whole value in the stretch of that dollar that we put in the offering plate or that prayer that we offer or that hope that we have passing somebody on the street. We never see the full product of that because God is looking so much deeper. And so we bring everything that we are. So when we talk about stewardship, We talk about our prayers. We talk about our presence. We talk about our gifts, our service, and our witness. But it's more than just what we're bringing. It's more than just what we're trying to do. It's the type of heart and the spirit that we have pursuing after God. To do something that we don't even know if it'll be successful. But realizing that God has a deeper plan and a purpose for our lives as well. I don't think many of us would have written our lives the way that they've turned out so far. Some of us might think that God kind of has a weird sort of tangent that he's taken us down at times. We are wildly out of control of our circumstances sometimes, and it feels as if we're caught in this raging storm of not having any idea where we're headed or we're going. And yeah, I think God still has a purpose in those moments. I think God still has a skill and a talent and an ability that he has given each and every one of us. So every anxiety that we have had that we don't measure up, that we don't belong, that we don't matter, or what we bring to the table doesn't matter, we could not be more wrong. Because God has said each and every one of us matter. What we bring to the table matters. What God has given you in your checkbook, what God has given you in your genetics, what God has given you in your family, your circumstances, your neighbors, your surroundings, God has placed you in a specific purpose and a vision of how you can transform that space that is around you. And each one of us has a role to play. Each one of us is needed. It's so easy to feel like we can just sit back in the crowd and just hope that other people kind of pick up the slack. But I have not read that verse in the gospel. I haven't read that Bible. But I have read about a God who has knit together each and every one of us with a specific look and specific talents and specific abilities that are bizarre and diverse and generous, and he has called us to do something with them. And what he has called us to do is to pursue after him with our whole hearts. Sometimes like David, that looks like building a temple. Other times like David, that looks like standing up to a giant. Another time, it means being prayerful and quiet and sitting on a hillside and watching over a flock and being the one that stays awake. Each one of you has a purpose. Each one of us is on the way because God is not finished with any of us yet. But as we keep moving forward, as we come together as one, we're on the way to something so much bigger. As the band starts to come forward today to kind of close out our service today, I want you to think about the skills and the abilities that God has given you. Sometimes we wish we didn't have them. There are times where I wish all the time that God did not make me a preacher. It is not very convenient. But there are times that I have seen God do something incredible in my family and through my life and in a church and a community through a small act that one person did that they didn't think would matter at all. Every offering you give matters. Every prayer that you offer matters. Every time you come to church matters. Every conversation you have when you go out these doors to share a word of peace and hope matters. And when we do it together, we are indeed on the way to something bigger. Let's bow our heads this morning. Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. Because, Lord, you have given us skills and gifts and abilities that are diverse and as wide as the beauty and diversity of your creation. You have allowed us to do some weird things, some cool things, and some amazing things. But you have called us, Lord, to pursue after you. To do that along with our wallets, our checkbooks, our neighbors, our circumstances, our prayers, our presence, everything that we can possibly bring to you to feed into a vision of how we can serve your kingdom, how we can help build up your kingdom, how we can help to turn others to experience the love and the hope and the peace of God. Allow us to be good stewards of what you've given us. Allow us to not only give you 10%, but to give you our lives, that we might be your children and your disciples and on the way to something so much bigger. As we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.